This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right, let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, hour number three, as we continue along. Again, Super Bowl 56. We got this for you in 2 weeks. Can't wait. Bengals and Rams in the City of Angels. All right, so how did Cincinnati do this? How did Cincinnati come back from 18 points down? As we talked to Jared Dubin earlier, really changing the coverage, dropping eight men back, and making Patrick Mahomes run around, looking for anybody that's open and not seeing anybody open. Familiar strategy that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers used. If you remember that Super Bowl where Patrick Mahomes ran around and couldn't get the ball downfield. I do think that there's always in every single game that is played, there's always a little bit of how much you contribute to your own demise and how much you contribute to your own success. Do the Bengals deserve all the credit for this victory? As much as you can give them. They did change their defensive scheme. They never gave up. They did the things right offensively. Evan McPherson hit all of his field goals. Perfect. But at the same time, the Kansas City Chiefs had an 18-point lead, and they did not score until the end of the game. They scored their third touchdown on their third possession and then were shut out the rest of the way. And that is going to be on them. That is on them. The fact that you get to the goal line and you make a decision like that where your hubris and your kind of belief, overconfidence in yourself and your overconfidence in your team didn't respect Cincinnati enough to think that even a swing pass to Tyreek Hill, one of the more dynamic players in the league, he was not going to beat two guys, especially Eli Apple, that was just waiting for him. No blockers, no nothing. Two defenders just standing there waiting for Tyreek Hill to catch that ball so they can bring him short of the goal line. It was, again, Patrick Mahomes is a smart quarterback, but in that situation, I think he believed a little bit too much of what that team was being able to do against the Bengals at that particular moment in the game. And he paid a heavy price for it, because after that, they didn't score. After that, that was it. And give credit to Cincinnati for making all the right adjustments and never believing for 1 second they were out of a game against the most dynamic offense and one of the most dynamic quarterbacks that we've seen in a while. Kansas City blew this game, but as much as they blew it, Cincinnati deserves credit for never stop continuing to do the things that they were doing right. Staying with that defensive scheme, watching it work, and then Joe Burrow doing what he did. Getting those first downs, running for them if he needed to, finding Ja'Marr Chase, finding T. Higgins, getting P. Ryan in and Mixon rolling along offensively. Good for the Bengals for staying with what they needed to do to get back in an 18-point game on the road against that hostile crowd and one of the more dynamic offenses in the league.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, here we go as we continue along on a Championship Monday. Now that the AFC and NFC has got their champions, I'm spending a lot of time this morning on the Bengals because I just think that if you're looking at stories, I think they're the more fascinating story.
For the Rams side of it, though, is that it kind of harkens to that old ideal that, you know, it's like, hey, you just pay and build a team.
Right.
If you build it, they will come.
And the reality of it is, what the Rams story is interesting. Don't get me wrong.
It is.
They got Matt Stafford, knowing that Jared Goff wasn't the guy. They went out and got Von Miller. They got Odell Beckham, who's been really important to this team, right? Been really integral in what Sean McVay is doing offensively to this team. They've got Cooper Kupp, the best wide receiver in the game right now. They've got Aaron Donald. They've got a great defense. They have got a team. But here's the thing. They were a 4 seed. And yet, you went around and went, yeah, but they're almost as good as Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. I think they could beat Dallas if they had faced Dallas. I'd give them a good chance against the Packers. Like, they weren't a 4 seed like Cincinnati was. And I think Jared Dubin made a really good point last hour, which is Cincinnati a surprise that they're in the Super Bowl? Well, only if you look at the path in which they had to get there. So the first game they had to beat was the Raiders at home. Okay, so they're at home, and they had to play a Raiders team. All right, that's a coin flip, right? Raiders were pretty good, but the Bengals are good too. But you're at home, you're going to get the edge being at home.
Yeah, and then, we felt that was their game to win.
Right.
You know, we all knew, like, you know, this is Burrow. This is to finally text Bengals win a playoff game.
Exactly. So they win the game, and then they go to Tennessee. Now, I'm going to tell you, living in Nashville, this was a scary team to many Titans fans. Now, people here in Nashville thought the Titans would win, right? They thought, with Derrick Henry back, we should win this game. But Burrow and the Bengals were scary enough that made people go, but I'm not 100% sure, right? I mean, there was a little nervousness. And when that game was close, it really made a lot of people nervous. Because the close game, when you started realizing, you know, Derrick Henry may not be the factor in this game we thought he was going to be, right? Stopped at the goal line on that two-point conversion. Really didn't take off and do anything that awesome. Had that wildcat play for a touchdown. But he wasn't running over the Cincinnati defense. And when you started realizing, oh, Tannehill's throwing some picks, the Bengals certainly were capable of winning that game and did. Now the path goes, okay, so you beat a team at home. You then beat a team that wasn't quite as solid number one as maybe we had wanted in an AFC. And then the Chiefs and the Bills, you are going to be eliminated from playing one of the two better teams in the AFC. So the only thing you had to really do to get to the Super Bowl was beat a beatable number one seed at home in Tennessee and then win another road game against either Buffalo or Kansas City, and in this case, Kansas City. So it's not like they went through Tennessee, Buffalo, and Kansas City to get here, right? So, but still, what they were 2 years ago getting this pick and what they are today, we talked about this off the air. You cannot put a dollar value on a good quarterback anymore. I don't care when people go $40 million, $50 million, $60 million, $70 million. I don't care. If you've got a good quarterback that can win you football games and get you to the Super Bowl, it is worth every penny. This position, the price of this position should skyrocket. They're going to have deals coming up for these young quarterbacks. If they show the kind of promise, they're going to dwarf $500 million deals. This league is going to find a way to pay quarterbacks more money and more money and more money. As the income rises, as the revenue rises in this sport, it is by far the most important position in all the sports. I know people like to say hockey, goalie, but quarterback in the NFL, in the most popular sport, in the most profitable sport in America, quarterback is the thing you have to have. If you don't have it, you just cannot win. And anybody that gives you the narrative of, oh, yes, you can, look at this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, they're so rare we remember them. But go through. Do you know Joe Burrow is the first quarterback? The first quarterback in the AFC since Joe Flacco in 2013 to not be named Brady, Manning, or Mahomes. Now, the NFC, they've given you everybody. They have thrown almost every team in the NFC has had a chance to go to the Super Bowl. But in the AFC, it has been Brady, Manning, or Mahomes. That's it. That's it since almost 10 years. Since Flacco went to the Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens and beat Colin Kaepernick.
Or expand it even further, and you can add Roethlisberger to that mix.
If you want to add Roethlisberger.
You want to go all the way back? What was it, 2001?
Yeah, 2000, when they won.
2002.
When they won their first Super Bowl?
No, I'm saying, but you go all the way back to 2002.
Oh, yeah, go back to Brady in 2002.
It's just been four quarterbacks minus Flacco.
Right, minus Flacco. Right? That, it is extreme. You know, you all know this, but like this, look at Cincinnati. Think about, again, why wouldn't you root for your team to lose if you could get this guy? And I know it's hard to root for your team to lose. I can't do it. Every time I see my team, I want them to win all the time. And I don't care what the season is. I don't care if the season's a loss, cause. I don't care if it's whatever it is. I don't want to see my team lose. But I'm looking at the Steelers, and I know I talked about this last week. I'm looking at the Steelers, and it's going to be a long decade, man. It's going to be a long decade. If Kenny Pickett or Sam Howell or anybody else that's in this year's draft don't work out for them, it's going to be a long decade.
Now, honestly, though, did you think Joe Burrow would be this, though?
No, not at all.
That's the thing. When he was chosen number one overall, I felt that they were playing into the national championship hype.
Well, I did too, but I also knew that the team was not. Look, there's a real. I know it's Monday morning quarterbacking here, but there was a real, real argument that the Bengals screwed up drafting Ja'Marr Chase.
Yes.
Absolutely, without question. It seems ridiculous now. I get it. He's the AFC Rookie of the Year, NFL Rookie of the Year. But remember, they had no offensive line. None. And you know what? They kind of still don't.
Was there.
And Penny Sewell was right there. And they kind of still don't.
Right.
Right? Like, they kind of still don't. But there was a feeling like, oh, my God, really? You needed an offensive line. And I know it's cute. He's getting his college teammate with him, all of those things. But I'm telling you, when you know what your team needs and the draft opens up and one of the best on the board is there and you go, nah, weapon. And you're like, oh, our guy just suffered an injury that put him out for half the season. And the reason he suffered the injury is because nobody can block for him. And a guy that can block for him, you just left on the board?
I'm just curious. Like, I wish we could hear the groans and grumbles from, you know, Bengals fans all throughout the bars that were watching it that night.
Right. Sure. Of course. I remember telling you with the Steelers when they drafted Najee Harris. I know the Steelers needed a whole bunch of things. But I remember going, screw it. Sometimes you just get the playmaker. Just get the playmaker and just call it, you know. But that was not the case for Cincinnati. They really, really needed a first round solid, but
like you said, they still do.
They still do. But Ja'Marr Chase has worked out brilliantly. Brilliantly. That's his go-to guy. That's one of the reasons they're here. Right, that's one of the reasons we're talking about that. We're going to talk about them for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know what it kind of reminded me of, even though it was later in the round. I remember when, and I'm forgetting the running back's name for the Chargers. Oh my God, it was. I think it was almost like the same draft as Todd Gurley.
Right.
I don't remember who it was. He played for the Broncos as well.
Melvin Ingram.
Melvin Ingram. No. Right.
No.
That's the linebacker.
Who's
Melvin something.
Okay. Melvin
but anyways,
Gordon.
Melvin Gordon, yeah. So they drafted him, and his rookie season, he wasn't that good. He wasn't that great at all. Then the following year, they were able to kind of almost waste a draft pick, and I'm using waste in quotation marks, and drafted Derek Watt.
Right.
And why? Because Derek Watt was his fullback at Wisconsin all through college. As soon as they did that, Melvin Gordon started performing like the elite running back everyone was hoping he would be. And I think there is something to say, like, you bring in on a teammate, you bring on almost like that security blanket, you're going to get results.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what we saw with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. I think
there's important. You're right. You're right. That security blanket.
So I mean, he knows where he's going to be. He knows where to put the ball. I mean, these guys have history of, you know, won a national title together, played all these games together, practiced in and out with each other. He just knows where he's going to be, what route he's going to run, how he's going to run it. I mean, it's all this familiarity that he can throw a ball. We saw it this year. I mean, it surprises me that they've gelled this quickly, but it's not surprising that they're in the Super Bowl as well. It's Stafford and Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
Just that relationship those two have with each other is dynamic.
So now, you've got a team that was built to win a Super Bowl or nothing, right? The Rams built; they had to win. The future is going to be very bad. So if you are looking for that next up and coming first round pick for the Rams, you'll be waiting a while. This better work. And on the flip side of it is Cincinnati, a team that went, we've got our quarterback, we can build around this, and we'll see what happens. And let the sea open up. The Bengals are a perfect example of a team. Get in this thing and you don't know what's going to happen. Always root for the playoffs. Always root to get in. You never know how it'll open up. You never know if the other team is going to make a boneheaded decision or have costly turnovers. That ball bounces funny for a reason, and it puts teams in positions to win games. The Cincinnati Bengals, by all logic that we've seen over the last couple of years with this Kansas City Chiefs team, this team had no business coming back from 18 points down at Arrowhead. None.
Yeah.
But the ball bounces funny for a reason. Schemes work. You have intelligent people on your side of the football. Sometimes you catch something where you go, oh, this is working. He can't find anybody. We're doing right things with this coverage. Look how confused he is. Look how much time he has, and he still can't find anybody. You give a quarterback enough time, they're going to find someone. right? Because the receivers have the advantage in that situation. They put so many people back in the coverage that Mahomes ran around, and still couldn't find anybody open. And if you're the Bengals, that is brilliant on your part to say, this is what we're going to do, and let's try it. We have nothing to lose. We're down 18.
I mean, dangerous, right?
Right.
To sit there and go, hey, guys, you know, for the second half, we're going to give Mahomes all the time.
All the time.
I mean, he was back there. Times I thought he was back there for like 10 seconds.
That's right.
15 seconds are going by, and, you know, he's still running around. And it was just that the defensive backs stepped up. They didn't give any clear looks.
So, you'll hear more hype as the 2 weeks get closer and closer, and everyone's, you know.
And we might change our tune.
We might. The Bengals and the Rams will get all the love and hype, and we'll get you all pumped up for the game, even if you're not excited about it. The way the league does 2 weeks, you will be by the time we get to game time. Well, we'll see. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about Brady and this report about him retiring, not retiring. What does it mean? It caught everybody over the weekend by a little bit of a surprise, but boy, they had the stories ready. That's next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's get to the Tom Brady news this weekend. Adam Schefter, Jeff Darlington reporting Brady retired. He was done. And then all of a sudden the Brady camp went, no, we never announced that. His dad had to come out and go, yeah, my son is still mulling this over. If I'm a betting guy, I would bet that Tom Brady's retired.
Yeah.
All right, I think these guys are good at their job. I don't think they're interested in the speed necessarily. I do know they want to be first. Of course,
everybody wants to be first.
That's the deal in this business. You want to be first.
Oh, you remember the trend back in the day? Be the first one to comment. All you did was first.
Right. Yeah. I think this is the battle, the internet battle that those guys are in. And I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't want to live in their world for anything. I mean, it's the pressure is crazy. I mean, you're always worried about what the other guy is doing.
Do you think the NFL gets mad like at basketball, NBA, because it's just Woj?
Yeah, but there are a few other people than Woj.
Yeah, there is now.
Just big. He's just a bigger.
Yeah, you got the Woj bomb.
Yeah, the Woj bomb. But, you know, that's a marketing thing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But these guys, I think with Woj, I think I always feel like Woj isn't. He gets the stuff that the teams want to get out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't really remember Woj having something where the Philadelphia 76ers are like, that's a bunch of crap. But in the NFL, you do get that because teams are like, wait, well, no, we really want to control how this information is getting thrown out there, right? I guess in Woj's case, sometimes in the NBA, a player's like, I didn't know I was trading until my friend told me they saw it. They saw the Woj bomb.
And I know his protege, Shams Charania, is now getting into that mix too.
Yeah, it's a really, really tough job. It's a tough job. I remember
the
Adam
NFL,
when he was,
but see, the point I was trying to make is the NFL feels like there's like 10 to 15 insiders.
Yeah, there's all these insiders. Everybody's got a piece of this.
Now Jeff Darlington is one?
I remember Adam when he was in Denver. And he was with the Denver Post, and he was really starting to become the Adam Schefter we know now. And he was always on the phone, all the time. Well, you'd be at Bronco practice, you'd be at the game, you'd be at anything, and he's always on the phones. And you have to work that angle all the time. Josina Anderson was like that, too. She did a time in Denver, and she knows a lot of players. So she was always doing that, too. She always got inside information on that. And in this case, those guys did their work, right? They went out and got that. They got a scoop. They got a good scoop. They got a scoop they knew they could run with and back. That's the key. Look, in the race to be first, you also want to make sure you're right. And the good ones make sure they're right, because the more that you bring out something and get wrong, it's the wolf that, you know, it's the what? The pig that cries wolf? Or what's that?
The boy who cries wolf?
Boy who cries wolf?
Pig yeah.
That cries or, wolf. What am I talking about?
I don't know. The other thing I'll say, too, is that you want to make sure that it's worth it. I'll go back to when COVID was rampant, you know, back in 2020. And remember, it was Jay Glazer was teasing that he has huge, huge news.
Right.
And it ended up being like a second string center for I don't even know which team. I think it was the Rams. Was the, you know, had COVID.
Right.
And we're all
right.
like, yeah. that's what we were waiting for. This was the big announcement. It was like some guy we've never heard of is the first to come down with COVID. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, that you're 100% right.
You know, I mean,
you have to make sure it's very.
You gotta make sure it's worth it.
It's worth it, right? So in this case, I think if you're Adam Schefter and you are breaking that the greatest quarterback to ever play is retiring, then you need to make sure that you are backing that up and you won't back down from it. Look, some people get one source and they go, "All right, I'm gonna run with that and I'll see where it goes." That's too big of a deal to. You will fall hard if you get that 100% wrong, right? Now, this doesn't mean Brady won't come back to play. He may out of spite. Who knows, right? Like, he could go, screw it. You guys broke the story. I'm going to come back and play and prove you wrong. But that's not proving him wrong. They're going to stand by that at that time that they broke that story, that they had a number of sources that said that Brady has gone through the motions to properly retire from the National Football League.
Yeah.
That he has either informed the team, he's informed the organization, he's informed the owner, he's informed the coaches, whatever it may be, however this broke and whoever got this information to them, they got to stand by that. And again, if you make up stuff and just attribute to a source nobody's going to track down anyway, you'll get found out soon enough. That's the way this works. But I remember telling you this before Betty White died, actually. I said, all of these companies.
Don't
like,
blame it on Betty.
No, I'm not blaming it on Betty. But I said before, when it comes to celebrities in their age, you have the obituaries written. Because when it comes, you land it. Right?
And you want to be the first.
And you want to be first. So the New York Times had Betty White's obituary already written. So when the news broke, that's why so quickly there's a 10-page obituary on the life and career of Betty White, because they already wrote it. They just had to fill in the details, right? The same thing was true here. ESPN, SI, CNN Sports, whatever it is. I mean, whatever, Fox, all those. They had the Brady retirement story already written.
And maybe the only thing they've been doing is just adding.
Right? Adding
a little bit here and there.
That's it. You just adjust as you go. But the basics of he was drafted in the round, blah, 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 by the New England Patriots and sat on the bench and then he won a Super Bowl. And the following year, blah, blah, blah. You've already written all of that. You've talked about the Flategate. You've written about the Spygate and the undefeated season. And you wrote about the problems with Belichick and all of those things. And the loss to the Eagles and the loss to the Giants and the wins against Carolina and the wins against the Falcons. And you've already written all of that. And now you're just waiting to release it. You're filling in the gaps that you need, and then you release it. And that's what they did. It was that quick. I saw this breaking on the banner. Then I went right to the internet, and right away there was already tribute articles.
Yep.
A full story on his career, what he has meant to the NFL. They were up that quickly. Why? Because they were already written. Because everyone was waiting to see if this would happen. And if it wasn't going to happen, then you shelve it. And you shelve it and you wait.
Yeah, and then you just add to it.
Right, because it's
like
coming.
Like we said, I mean, you know, they probably had it written last year on his way to the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl, and then you're like, well, okay, you know, we have it written. Well, now we'll add, the NFC South Championship, and then we'll end it there. And I don't know. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, this story has been written for probably a while now.
Right. They've been waiting and waiting for at any moment he was going to be done, and they were going to say, great, here we go.
Yeah, because he's around that age. We all sit there and we joke that, hey, he's going to play till he's 50. Well, I mean, reality, no, he's not.
But like like Jerry Dubin said last hour with Jason Lockenforna, these guys didn't. They are not one of them is backing down from this story.
Yeah.
Not one of them. And they're willing to say, no, we know he at whatever we got, whatever he may change his mind, but he was going to retire.
And I think, I can't remember who posted it on Twitter, but I think it's very true that, you know, 15 of his $20 million signing bonus comes paid February 4th.
Right.
Why is he not going to wait till then?
Sure.
I mean,
but you know what? You know what? Another thing, too, is do I believe he could come back out of spite? Sure. But that's a big commitment just to prove him.
Yeah.
Just like that seems really petty. Like, you either want to play or you don't want to play. If you didn't want to play on Saturday, and then the story broke that you're retiring, and now you're going to go through all of the offseason, all of the games, all of the time away from your family for 1 year just because Adam Schefter broke a story, that seems a little silly to me. You either want to play or you don't. If you want to play, play. If you don't want to play, retire. Don't worry about these reporters and who broke a story. Just do what you want to do.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. It is SportsMap Radio. Again, Championship Monday, as we're breaking down Super Bowl 56 for the next 2 weeks. Man, oh man, will this be fun. I know. 2 weeks.
I'm serious. Weeks. You know what? Instead of Pro Bowl next weekend, can we have a third place game?
Yeah, can we get would you think the Chiefs would you if you could what could you offer the Chiefs
and the Niners?
Niners to play a game just to play it?
Maybe what if you did this? What if you said, all right, you know, all the draft picks are kind of in order except for number 10.
Yeah, right, right, right.
And then, okay, you know, third place gets the 10th overall
pick.
Gets
that one? Yeah, so, like, you know.
Something to play for. Because I think you would play hard for that, right? Yeah, obviously,
well,
you're not going to give number one or anything
gotta
like that.
I got to stay consistent. I agree with you. I got to stay consistent because
I don't
know,
I'm just shooting out here.
No, 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 I got it. But I got to stay consistent in that most players are like, well, I don't even know if I'm going to be around. So
true,
like,
yeah, there's
I,
that.
You know, like, I'm
see, I don't think you
agent,
can put money on the
get
line.
Caught or... Yeah, I don't think you could put money on the line. I think the problem with the third place game is it's like any other consolation game. I've been to these basketball tournaments.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Like, no, there's no incentive. They really, really, honest to God, if you gave them all truth serum, they'd be like, I have no interest. It's like the bronze medal game. At least there's a bronze medal.
Well,
but if you're expected to win gold, it's like, jeez.
Isn't that the only sport that still has third place games?
Right,
just
right,
so
right,
they
right.
can fill
just
it out.
Just so they can fill it out, right.
Because I can tell you this. I mean, the World Cup used to do a third place game, but they haven't had that for the last, you know,
and is it,
five World Cups, I believe.
Is it because the teams are just like, look, I'm exhausted. I'm mentally exhausted. Like, you made me chase a goal, and then I can't get the goal. Then you want me to do this again? No.
No, they poured it all on the line in that semifinal, and then they're expected to come out like the day before.
Yeah.
You know, the finals usually, you know, a few days after the semifinals, like 4 or 5 days, but the third place game was always the day before. They don't care.
Yeah,
and
they
it's
don't
like,
care.
Whatever.
And so, again, I don't think because there's no value attached to it, I don't think it would be worth our entertainment.
No, I don't either, but I just... I feel like it would be so much better than the Pro Bowl.
I just don't like the Pro Bowl. I'm just not a fan. Look, I know some of you are. I know some of
maybe,
you like it.
You know
I
what?
Don't like it.
How about this? NFL, instead of do the Pro Bowl, how about you take over, say, something like the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, okay. I mean,
you know,
that would work.
And then you're like, you know, hey, here's what you're going to see on draft day. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of something. I mean, Pro Bowl to me is like, just give them a plaque.
give them
here you go.
Plaque.
You made it.
Oh,
you got selected, and you know, but I don't mind that, like, you know, the fun skills competition. I don't know if you can make that any, but the only one I really like is when the quarterbacks are thrown at the targets.
That's true.
I don't know. I don't care about the gauntlet or dodgeball.
No, I don't either.
Or dropping a football from 500 feet up in the air. Like, what does that show you?
All right, so we got a weekend without any NFL, but we do have something interesting on Saturday. That is going to be February 5th. Former world champion Keith Thurman and Mario Berrios will collide in a high-stakes welterweight showdown. The co-main event hits just as the hard four-division champion Leo Santa Cruz returns to take on Keenan Carbaugh. That's Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific from the Michelob Ultra Arena in Las Vegas. Everything good is in Las Vegas. I love that city. I wish I still lived there. It's always got good events, and this one's going to be a good one as well. Live on pay-per-view, you can buy now on the Fox Sports app. Watch it on any screen you want. It's the Saturday, it's February 5th, Michelob Ultra Arena, Mandalay Bay Resort Casino Hotel, headlined by former unified welterweight champion Keith Thurman, taking on super lightweight champion Mario Berrios. Again, it begins at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Fox Sports app. So buy today. All right, as we continue along, again, the NFL, good weekend for them, championship games. Got a lot of storylines, but of course, what is going to be taking place over the next 2 weeks is going to be the Super Bowl. And between a team in Cincinnati that has not been in that game since 1988 against a Rams organization that is now in the Super Bowl for the fifth time, two in St. Louis and now the third time in Los Angeles, and the third time, the second time under Sean McVay. Are you surprised? You've lived in Los Angeles. Are you surprised that this team has still not caught the kind of fan momentum that it should have had against the 49ers to have filled that stadium and had the city enthusiastic for that result.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. Here's the deal, right? Okay, so we got to go back a few years. When did they leave, they left in like 88, 89, the Rams, right?
I want to say maybe early 90s.
Early 90s?
Yeah.
They largely played all their games in Anaheim.
Anaheim, right.
Right, and it literally became Anaheim's team. It wasn't L.A.'s team. I mean, there were some leftover fans with L.A. But when the Raiders came there, they took over L.A.
Absolutely.
And the Los Angeles Raiders dominated the L.A. market. And I guarantee if Kroenke said, you know what, I'm taking my team, I'm moving them to Vegas. And they became the Las Vegas Rams. And then, you know, Prince Adam, right. If he decided like, well, I'm moving him out of Oakland and I'm moving him down to Los Angeles, that would have been a black hole yesterday. You may have seen like a spattering of red.
Well, I think you just said something extremely important to a lot of people around the country that saw last night and said, well, no wonder a team didn't work there. Because look at what's going on right now. This is a Rams team that is their second appearance in the Super Bowl since they moved back. They were just there a handful of years ago. This is the second time. They've got a great young coach. They've got one of the best wide receiver in the game. They've got a winning team. They've got a team full of stars, and that place was filled with 49er fans. But you are 100% correct. It is not that city doesn't care about football. It's that they care about Raider football, and the Raiders don't exist there anymore. But they're still attached to that team.
And I guarantee. Like I said, you probably have a lot more people in L.A. who are willing to drive to Vegas than they would be able to drive to SoFi Stadium.
I agree completely.
You know, and listen, L.A. fan is terrible. It's a terrible, terrible fan base. The only ones they truly, truly care about, I swear to you, the only ones they truly, truly care about where they will actually show up in the stadium, and it probably has everything to do with ticket prices, is Dodgers.
Yeah.
Even Laker fan, you know, you can have, I mean, we all know, you know, we know the popular Laker fans like Jack Nicholson, you know, Diane Carroll, and we know about those guys, but... And it's very important that Lakers don't show this. But look at the bottom tier. It's always going to be empty. You have guys just who are slowly sauntering in. They're Laker fans, quote unquote. But they're there more to be seen, more to say, hey, guess where I was yesterday.
So let me ask this.
And I think the Rams are going to fall into that same trap.
So let me ask you this. And I want to know, why is it different there? And I've heard many reasons, but the reasons don't add up to me, right? I've heard the weather's nice. There's other things to do everywhere in the country.
I never bought into the weather's nice. It's like, I'd rather be at the beach.
There's all sorts of places where the weather's nice. They
and
support.
And Southern California, they have it all the time.
All the time.
So it's not that. I think a lot of it has to do with just the economics of Southern California. It's expensive to live there.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And you know as well as I do, NFL tickets are expensive. But it's not just NFL tickets. You buy the tickets, maybe, you know, say you buy two tickets, right? That's probably, what, $200?
Yeah.
Then you're forced, you know, you got to buy the food. You got to buy the drinks. You might buy this. You might buy that. Even if you went there and you know, said, bare minimum, I'm going to sneak in a bag of peanuts in my jacket, my oversized coat. Or, you know, here, sweetie, stick this in your purse. You know, it's still, I mean, it's $200 for... The true fans who are Ram fans don't go to these games.
And I do think, Kroenke, he wasn't responsible for moving it, right?
Right.
I don't think he was in the ownership. I think it was still Giorgio Fontieri who owned it at the time, the Rams, and moved the team to St. Louis. But I do think there is still, even if you were a Rams fan growing up in Los Angeles, they left for 20 years.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like...
It's a generation gap.
And you left me for 20 years. What did you think I was going to do? Follow you when you were in St. Louis? Well, here, you know, while you were gone, I found another team to root for.
Well, that's why, I mean, you know, people always ask, like, okay, you grew up in L.A., aren't you? You're a Rams fan. How come you're not a Rams fan? I'm like, because I never fell in love with them. I became a Chargers fan because I didn't have a professional team.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's like there's only one team in Southern California that was shown on our TV. I mean, they would show Raiders games. They would try to show Rams, but no one really cared about the Rams. I really do feel like no one cared about the Rams even when they were in L.A., and that's why they left.
Right.
Because it literally felt like they were Anaheim's team. And that's a big difference. You're not going to find a lot of L.A. fans who are fans of the Angels.
Very good point.
Or the Ducks. I mean, sure, they rally behind the Ducks when the Ducks are in the Stanley Cup. But, you know, they care more about the Kings than they do the Ducks. And they don't really care about the Kings. So that just goes to show you how they feel about the Ducks.
So, I think there is, like, I remember the 20 years that they were not in the city. And I remember going, I never could grasp my head around it. The explanations seemed just a little too simplistic. Because I was like, look. I'm not asking for 14 million people to get behind an organization. You don't need that many people to be successful. You need a strong ticket base, strong season ticket base, and you need probably what? A million people maybe to be crazy about your product to be somewhat successful. That's it. There's a lot of people in that city. I'm sure there's no viable explanation for this, but you couldn't help but see the crowds going, how did they get their hands on all these tickets? How did they fill? There wasn't a screenshot that they had that was full of Rams fans. There was not one.
No,
they
would pan the entire
stadium.
Way.
All over the stadium. When they did those wide crowd shots, it was dotted with burgundy and gold all around the place, everywhere.
I mean, listen, we joked about it with the Chargers constantly. And literally, for both these fan bases, I think the only home game that they'll have is if they're playing against Jacksonville.
Right.
Or maybe Carolina. You know, pick some of the newer teams. You're just not going to get that fan base there.
But compare that to Kansas City. Compare that to Arrowhead State. It was an ocean of red.
Even when they panned over to someone, the only reason why I could tell this guy was a Bengals fan, because I couldn't see any Bengals gear. I could only tell he was a Bengals fan because he was smiling.
Right. Right. Exactly. And that's the difference, right? I mean, Three Rivers Stadium, Lambeau Field, these places, you're just not going. You're going to get some. It's impossible to fill your stadium with 100%.
Yeah.
They're just going to be people that get in. That's just the way it is. That's just the nature of the business. But what I saw yesterday at SoFi Stadium, that's embarrassing for a team that's in the NFC title. That's not the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is entirely different. That's a neutral site, even though it's a home stadium.
And
they're going to distribute the tickets to corporations, and equal fan bases are going to get a shot at the tickets. You can get them locally by living there. That's different. But that's the only aspect of that game that is going to have, an aspect of a home field, is that maybe locally you can get your hands on tickets a little easier than if you were out of town.
This Super Bowl could sway some bringing in some fans. I mean, obviously, if your team makes it to the Super Bowl, it always brings on new fans.
Sure.
But I think that since they're playing at home, that's going to be brought up a little bit more. And it's going to be a bigger news story that these guys are playing at home.
Well, we're going to see this for the first time, because last year the stadium was not filled. It was very, because of COVID, it was here are some first responders that are getting tickets, and these people got tickets, and every other seat, every third seat is being filled. Like, it was so many protocols to fill.
You
had
to make sure you were vaccinated 18 times.
Right, exactly. To get a real taste. Pat Donovan, our good friend, pointed this out when they were kind of toying with the idea of possibly moving the Super Bowl. He put it out on Twitter. Give it to Tampa again, because we never really got to see what a full stadium was like. Like, we didn't get to really see that. And now we will. We will see a full stadium and get a feel, like, did Rams fans get their hands on these tickets? Did the Rams fans try to gobble up the ones that were made to the public? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Cincinnati fans, how much did they travel in? Because God knows 30 plus years is a long time between Super Bowl visits. By the way, the last time the Bengals were in the Super Bowl, the John Candy game. I mean, it's so long ago. I mean, it's so far.
Oh, it's just so many different things. There was a great article. It was like, what life was like the last time the Bengals made the Super Bowl? We must have been in the Stone Ages.
I know. Well,
we just got the light bulb, kids.
Remember, that Super Bowl came a week or so after George Bush, the dad, got inaugurated president of the United States. Right. Beating Michael Dukakis in the election. Michael Dukakis. All right, we'll come back, wrap up this hour on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, wrapping up this hour. Again, thanks for joining us on Wake Up Call. By the way, Michael on Twitter. When I was in Brazil, Olive Garden and Outback Steakhouse are considered five-star restaurants.
Yeah.
We were talking about the Walker Hayes Applebee's song that drowned out the halftime show, and that song is about going to Applebee's when Applebee's is the biggest thing you got in your town. That's that song. God bless. That's right.
Might use it to drown out us now.
Yeah, it's drowned out us. Walker Hayes. Oh my goodness. Well, again, we got a lot of 2 weeks of breaking this game down between Matt Stafford and Joe Burrow. SEC Super Bowl, baby. Georgia LSU.
Uh oh. Right.
I know that might be a little too early to be jumping down, going a little crazy for that. But I got to tell you this. I think these playoffs have been great.
Well, I can say, especially the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, they've been really great.
God, NFL, thank you.
Got two games that went down to the wire.
I do have to say this. There was one meme that was going around, or one video that was going around that, it's like, somebody's got to stop Brittany Mahomes and Jackson Mahomes.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And it was just, and then all of a sudden it was just Burrow. Just a
That's
picture
right.
of Burrow saying, I was like, I'm on it.
You're welcome, America.
Yep.
That's a good point.
It's already a win.
We don't need Jackson Mahomes going around L.A. going, do you know who my brother is? We don't need that. We don't have to have it for 2 weeks. Thank you, Joe Burrow. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. It's Sports Map Radio. It's Wake Up Call. Tony D and Ron Culver. Have a good day.